take this lightly. It's such an opportunity to see what God has done for me in my life. I'd like to thank those who came before me in prayer, in song, in scripture reading. I was thinking, as Brother Jim was talking over the Lord's Supper, how 20 years ago, someone told me that I would be ministering, being used for the kingdom of God. 20 years ago, he told me this. And I knew nothing about the Bible. Nothing. No scriptures. Very little. And to see where I'm at today, and it's not me. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. God has given me opportunity to take the pains of life that I have gone through in my personal sufferings and use it for a ministry. And tonight, that's what my lesson is on. Taking the pains of your life, your personal pains, emotions, and physical, and use it for the ministry of the Lord. Amen? That's opening prayer. Father, again, we thank you so much for what you do for us in our lives, Lord. We thank you for the covenant that we have with you, Father, that we are partakers of your divine nature, heir to the blessings of Abraham and adjoining with Jesus Christ. Father, tonight I pray that I will decrease and you will increase in my life. Lord, I pray that God's word will touch someone's heart tonight and ask, what must I do to be saved? If there's one here tonight, Lord, who is in the Lord, not in the Lord, Father, and they come forth and say, I'm willing to be a ministry, a servitude for the Lord. If there's one here tonight who is in the Lord, who struggles, and it's okay to struggle, Lord, we here as saints and Christians and brothers and sisters in Christ can comfort them, to encourage them, to know that you are within us, the hope of glory. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I promise to have you out of here before 8. It's been a while since I've been up here. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and perfect will of God. Even though Paul has given us a great guide on how to conduct ourselves as Christians, there are still times in our life when we just want to give up. Has there ever been a time in your life that you just want to give up? For those who are in Christ, and for those who are not in Christ. He tells us in verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind, an ongoing occurrence. It doesn't say the renewed mind. The renewing of the mind. It tells us that we have a responsibility ourselves. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. You have to study God's word. In order to have change in your life, you have to study God's word. Dr. Edwin Cole used to tell us in Baltimore, Maryland, that change isn't change until you have made the decision to change. There's nothing spooky coming out of the sky. There's no lightning bolts. And no one should have to push you in order to change. It's the renewing of your mind. Sin has taken its toll on this society, emotionally and physically. This is why Apostle Paul says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what is good, the perfect will of God. Even though it's the perfect will of God, it doesn't change the fact, the life is painful. John 16:33, Jesus says, in this world, you should have tribulations, trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Isn't that good to know? The one that created you, the one that knows all about you. Yes, we are in the world. We, those who are in Christ, are pilgrims just passing through. But it's good to know that while we are in the world of trouble, we have someone on our side that knows all about us. And he says, be what? Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. But how did Jesus overcome the world? To be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which was his reasonable service. We have that responsibility too, to make our bodies to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Are you sacrificing? Are you doing what you're supposed to do for those who are in Christ? And for those who are not in Christ tonight, are you willing to sacrifice, to take a change, to be the person that God wants you to be? Tonight, I want to focus on the emotional pain as people and how we can take the pains of life and turn them into a ministry. Servitude. That's what the word ministry means, to be a servant. Sacrificing, going out the way, not only just for the Lord, which is most important, but for others. This is how the gospel gets spread. It gets spread through us, for those who are in Christ, of telling those about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, the good news. That's a good thing. Apostle Paul has established the fact while traveling on his missionary journeys that life can be painful emotionally and physically. Have you gone through life in this world, and have you established, not established, but have you gone through emotional and physical pains of hardship? There's all types of pain. This pain of anger, pain of a death of loved one, pain because you can't have your way, the hurts of life. That would be very sad if we were able to have our way to do our thing. That's what gets a lot of us in trouble. I speak for myself. The hurts of life. I'd rather travel that yellow brick road, and that yellow brick road is following Christ, than to rear off that yellow brick road and find yourself in a situation where you're not supposed to be. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25 through 28, Paul talks about his journeys of life, of being a living sacrifice unto God. And Paul says, in verse 24, five times I have received the Jews 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I spent in the deep. Verse 26, I have been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, in dangers from robbers, in dangers from countrymen, dangers from Gentiles, in dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through my sleepless nights. Ah, when you're in pain, the sleepless nights that we have, to be uncomfortable, in hunger, and thirst, and often without food, in cold and exposure. Key verse, verse 28. And apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Paul was willing to be a living sacrifice unto God, which was his reasonable service for the churches. Paul, what he was going through, was nowhere near the pain and suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ. He understood that. When Christ went to the cross of Calvary. But Paul knew the suffering was for the church. See, he took the pains of what he went through on his missionary journeys. And while going through the pain and the suffering emotionally and physically, he understood there was a ministry within. Can you take your pains of emotions and physically, of torment at times in our mind, and the torment comes into our minds? This is why it's important that we must renew our mind. Put yourself in a situation to where you need to be where we at tonight. We're not here just to be here. We're not here to be here. You're here because, number one, it's a command by God to serve on the first day of the week. And secondly, it's because you want to do better in your life for the Lord. Amen, somebody. It's not about us. We are born to be selfish. Sorry, it's a nature within all of us. We're selfish people. This is why there's a pruning process that takes place when we become Christians. So we can learn how to conduct ourselves and be the man and the woman of God that he has ordained us to be. It's just like taking two children, 2 years old, toddlers, and putting a red ball in the middle. You don't have to tell them to grab the red ball, and you don't have to tell the other toddler to push one down. They're going to do that naturally. It's within. And it's within our own lives that we do the same thing selfishly. That's why the gospel is not about us. It's about others. Making your bodies to be a living sacrifice to serve others. Apostle Paul also gives us a reminder on how pain is. If you turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul reminds us in verse 4, God who comforts us in our affliction. In verse 5, he tells us, for as the sufferings of Christ abound unto us. In verse 6, we are afflicted. In verse 7, we are partakers of the sufferings of Christ. In verse 9, we have felt that we had the sentence of death upon us. He was willing to take the pains of life for the church. There's no doubt that Apostle Paul has kept the faith. He's probably one of the most spiritual Christians that I can think of and read about. He suffered for the faith. But still, he was in a painful situation. My question tonight, is how do we respond when affliction arises in our own life? How do we respond when affliction arises in our own life? When persecution confronts us, when we just want to give up. Again, has there ever been a situation that has came across in your life when you're going through pain and suffering, when you just want to give up? In Romans 8, verses 38 and 39, Paul encourages us not to give up. Because he says this, and I believe this is a testimony for Paul. And we can take this same testimony that Paul has said to us in God's word. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I love verse 38. For I am convinced, the King James Version says, for I am persuaded. Are you persuaded? What pain and suffering have you had in your own personal life that you can sit back and remember and say to yourself, I am persuaded that I can go through this suffering. I can go through this emotional pain. I can go through this heartache. I can travel in this world in knowing that God, Jesus Christ, God Almighty, has overcame this world. So I can be the man, the woman, the child that God has ordained me to be. Are you persuaded? Are you persuaded? Some of us like to say that famous quote. You know, I came from a charismatic background, charisma, fundamentals, Baptist. So when I got saved, came into the body of Christ in October the 2nd, 2008, there was a conversion personally that had to take place in my life because there were things that I was doing and things that I was saying that wasn't adding up to God's word. So I had to learn. I had to have a teachable spirit. So one of the famous quotes that we used to say all the time in the charismatic church, God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good, which is a true statement, but it doesn't change the fact that life can still be painful. So sad is the teaching today in the charismatic circuit. If we follow God, there will be no troubles in our lives. Let me ask you a question for those who are believers and for those who are not believers. What is your purpose for being here tonight? What is your purpose? Don't worry about your neighbor's purpose, but what is your purpose? Because there always will be troubles in your life. But it's what do you do when they arise? How false is the teaching that when we hear that, there will be no troubles? We see through the example of many individuals in the Bible that those who follow God, there are afflictions. There are turmoils. That's why Paul says that we must constantly renew the renewing of our minds. John 16:33, God, Jesus says, in this world you should have tribulation. In Acts 14:22, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. Through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. There's a pruning, a purging process that we must go through here on this earth, which I call boot camp. Simple. It's boot camp. You're not born and all of a sudden you just go to the kingdom of God. There's a renewing that takes place. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ will be persecuted. If you desire to live godly in Christ, you will be persecuted. And listen, we shouldn't be persecuted one another for those who are in the body. Our persecution should come from those who are not in Christ and the world. We ought to be encouraging one another. Listen, I wouldn't be up here tonight if I didn't receive encouragement. I wouldn't have never became a Christian if love was not shown to me when I first came through the doors, October the 2nd, 2008. Why do you think I come here? To Kent Church of Christ. This is good ground, by the way. I just want to let you know that for our guests. This is good ground. This is good ground. See, when we sin intentionally, the consequences are quite painful. A brother told me this many years ago when I was in my mess. He said, Melvin, he says, you have full reign for whatever you want to do in life. Full reign. But you have no reign of the consequences that come your way. This is why we have to be careful. But there is also pain when we walk in obedience. You're walking in obedience. You're walking on a golden brick road. You're doing what you're supposed to do. But still, pain and suffering comes your way. Oh, Lord, I come to church every Sunday, morning and evening. I come to Bible study every Wednesday. I'm a cheerful giver. I help others. I give. I participate in all the programs. I call that the I program. That was the downfall of Satan, by the way. You know that, right? Because he wanted to be all about him. Let's not let that be the downfall for us. Because when we come into Christ, it's not about us. It's about serving God and helping others. So maybe it's not about us. Have you ever given the thought while going through painful events, God is telling us we have a ministry within us? While going through your personal afflictions, you have a ministry within you. Oh, man, I remember the first time that I was asked to pray. It was back in 1998, and I was scared to death when I was asked to pray because I felt that I needed to say these elaborate words. I found out something later in life. It's all about the heart. It's not about the show. Again, I come from a charismatic background, so it was all about a show. I later found out it's about the heart. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4. Again, have you ever given the thought why going through painful events, God is telling us we have a ministry within us? Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 4, sorry, chapter 1. Who comforts us in all our affliction? See, God comforts you while you're going through, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. When we are going through tribulations, when we are going through trials, when we are going through storms in our life, it's to comfort others. So we'll be able to tell them how we have dealt through the comforts of life, that means the misfortunes of life, through Jesus Christ. Amen, somebody. Verse 6. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comfort, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same afflictions, sufferings, which we also suffer. When I'm going through, and I'm able to go through, because Christ liveth within me, the hope of glory, I have been encouraged by my brothers and sisters to be the person that I am. I'm willing to come to service on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. And as I'm going through the storms of life and you're in the turmoil, you're in trouble, I'm able to come to comfort you, to help you, to guide you, to love you, to encourage you to be the person that God wants you to be. God worked through Paul and others to be witnesses for Christ's sake, while Paul and his followers were enduring the hardships of pain for us, for the church, emotionally and physically. And if God can work through Paul, he can work through you to be a witness for Christ. God uses people who can feel it, see it, and understand it. When you're going through the pains of suffering, the emotional and physical pain, he uses those things to better equip the spreading of the gospel. And we too can say what Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul says in verses 7 through 12, but we have this treasure in earthly vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. And Paul says this, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the lives of Christ also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly, listen, constantly being delivered over to the death for Christ's sake, that the life of Christ also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. Now, isn't that something to tell someone when you're going through? That what you went through is to help them out. That's encouraging. I'm going through a storm so I can be better in life, so I can help someone else out. Repeat this after me. I will never give up. Come on, say it with enthusiasm now. Come on. Come on now, say it with enthusiasm. I will never give up. I will never give up because there is a ministry within me and you. See, God has a plan, and that's through his son, Jesus Christ. Don't you know who you are? You're blessed by the best. You're standing on top and won't be stopped. You're not moved by what you see. What you see now is only temporarily. That you are a child of God, fully accepted by the Father. Abundance is God's will for you, and you should not settle for less. That you're a new creature, predestined for greatness, heir to the blessings of Abraham, and a joining with Jesus Christ. Huh? See, we can't afford to give up. We have people who need us to tell them. Prime example, Acts chapter 2. Peter gives the message, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ on the day of Pentecost. When they heard that message, in verse 37, their hearts were pricked. And they came to Peter and to the rest of the brethren and said, what must we do? They were asking, what must we do to be saved? And Peter said in verse 38, repent, be baptized in Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So my question tonight is, for those who are not in Christ, are you willing to come forth tonight to repent, to be baptized in Christ, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit so you can be moved mightily and used mightily in God, not of yourself, but in God, to tell others about your pain and your suffering and your discomfort, about you emotionally and physically, so they can overcome just like you have overcome. Is there one here tonight who is in the body who's going through? Again, like I said before, it's okay to go through. Paul said, I went through. He says, what I don't want to do, I find myself doing. And what I should do, I find myself not doing. This is real stuff, y'all. This is real. This is a command by God. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God. I mean, Paul's saying, I'm begging you, brethren, to be different. You heard the gospel message. Can I have song come forth, please? Thank you.